Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
This is how we do it.
I've lived here for 50 years, and I can tell you that there's a lot of people that make a lot of money off of oyster farming, but we've got issues. We need new eyes on this problem. And I don't care if you're an Indian, if you're, you know, what you are, or what religion you are, or what Democratic Party you are with. If you've got the qualifications, you're the person we need. We don't need to be letting people off easy. We need the best people, and I think that's what we've gotten.
Sometimes I just play them because they're funny. Sometimes that's all it is, just because it's entertaining.
On this problem. And I don't care if you're an Indian.
The meetings are entertaining, okay? The meetings are entertaining. You know, you never... Santa Rosa County Commission meeting is like a box of chocolates. You never know which nut you're going to get. 437-1620, and just, you know, people... public say things that are funny. I don't know. I'm not trying to pick. I wanted to share that with you because I thought it was funny. But I did think something kind of interesting came out of this meeting that, you know, we talk about dysfunction, like in Milton, you know, what it's costing the city now. And we talk about bickering and weird comments, and that's just nature. Okay, government entities are going to be drama because that's where the conflict points of human civilization come into contact with each other. You try to solve your differences through peaceful means, and peaceful means often involves words and upset people and hurt feelings. And, yeah, you know, that's the nature of it. I mean, if government were... Think about it this way. Like, if government was always peaceful and easy, you wouldn't need it because it wouldn't be doing anything that needed to be done. Not really. Anyway, so back to the point that although we talk about some of the drama and the problems and all that, I love to focus on the good stories and tell them when they're available. And talking about the Santa Rosa County Medical Center, or Santa Rosa Medical Center fire, this was a great example of good things because, as Tom Lloyd, the public safety director for Santa Rosa, said, this was like, 30 people had to be moved and a pregnancy was happening.
I say roughly 30 patients because as we entered into kind of the climax of the situation, it became 31 patients as mom was up in L&D and gave birth in the middle of all that. So that was, that's a heck of a story
you were born
on your birthday,
into a fire,
I'm sure.
Young man.
Again, we just wanted to thank our partners and let you know that, we were able to transport 10 patients effectively to additional facilities and make sure that they were safely housed. And again, the biggest thing I wanted to highlight was the way that our neighbors answered the call swiftly and without hesitation, and they came alongside us to serve our community with the utmost commitment to excellence. And that's really about all I need to say.
Yeah, and he says, look, Eric Gilmore, the public safety director in Escambia County, was there. As doesn't surprise me in the least, knowing Eric as well as I do.
Escambia County's public safety director actually came over, and in our conversation, he said, I'm here because I know when it's my turn, you're going to be next to me.
So Roger that.
That's the relationship.
Absolutely. Colton Wright, the chairman, he was down at an Association of County Commissioners meeting with several Escambia commissioners.
And when this occurred, I had a retired sheriff's deputy send me a text. Apparently, he's still got a radio. So he was listening in his garage.
We'll find that.
Some stuff. He said, hey, do you know about the structure fire? And about that same time, Brad sends me a note. I stepped out, saw Commissioner Bender in the hallway, mentioned something to him.
Robert Bender from District 4 in Escambia.
He put his phone on speaker, called Eric Gilmore, their public safety director, and said, hey, I've got Commissioner right here. What's going on? He gave us a briefing as well. It mirrored exactly what Brad had given me. And he said that, you know, they would render aid in any way they could and be good partners.
Commissioner Mike Kohler was there. Commissioner Lumen Wade was there. All said the same exact thing because...
I think when we live in a region like this where we face, you know, hurricanes, afternoon thunder showers, wildfires, the kind of things that we've dealt with, it's nice to know that in times of crisis, while we may have our times where we spar a little bit and go back and forth, we all band together to do the right thing and help each other out. And kudos to everyone involved in that. I appreciate
you, thank you, sir.
And your team.
Absolutely.
As well.
Love to hear that. That is just where we live. And it's nice to know. And just, you know, like I said, sometimes we talk about the problems a lot, and I wanted to give a moment to praise the good things as well, because that's news too. 8:15 on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. Transgressive Memorial Service comes up next. Candy has traffic on the fives.
And watching a couple of bad accidents. One happened before the show started this morning, which is around 5. It's Highway 90 and 87 in Milton. As I understand, still blocked. East and westbound on 90 and 87 is still blocked southbound. Still seeing large debris in the roadway. This is on the bridge on Highway 90 east and westbound into Pace, into Pensacola as well. Seeing another accident. This is Quintet in 95A showing an accident, but no roadblock this morning. And it looks like the debris has been cleaned off the bridge. Okay, great. And thank you for texting that in. If you have traffic tips, please text 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
If you've got any kind of a plumbing issue, a leak, a drip, a weird sound in the wall, the temperature, the pressure, if anything's not making you happy about plumbing in your house, call Barberry. Have them fix it. Plumbing problems don't fix themselves. You know that. And they typically don't get, if it seems like it's gotten better, it's about to get worse. Like that's usually how that turns out. Flat rate pricing by the job, not by the hour. 477-8782 for Barberry Plumbing.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru. The men and women here at Anderson Subaru are committed to the Subaru Love Promise, a promise between us and our communities, a promise to make the Gulf Coast a better place to live, to work, and to play. And we're proud of what we've accomplished. From our ongoing support of the Pensacola Breast Cancer Association and Ascension Sacred Heart to volunteering with Feeding the Gulf Coast, we've conducted clothing drives for Loaves and Fishes and charity auctions for Gulf Coast Kids House, and we support Sherwood Elementary School in multiple ways. We're committed to the pets in our communities, too, by supporting dog adoption events with Phoenix Rising Rescue, Barktoberfest with Pensacola Humane Society, and Potty Gras with Wolfgang Park and Brews. And the love continues. Through donations, volunteering, and monetary support, Anderson Subaru is making a difference in the lives of our neighbors and our community. The Subaru Love Promise. That's a promise we intend to keep at Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Carr City, Pensacola, online at AndersonSubaru.com.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Get ready to get down with legendary disco and dance group, KC and the Sunshine Band, Sunday, August 27th at the Pensacola Sanger Theater, celebrating 50 years of making booty shake. Reserve seat tickets are on sale now at Ticketmaster.com. KC and the Sunshine Band, August 27th, Pensacola Sanger Theater.
Join Stephen Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at George Stone Technical College for Boat Smart on the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 10 a.m. Key Marine sponsoring the show. When Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service technicians, they hire students from George Stone Technical College. Have a boating question for Stephen? Then give us a call at 437-1620. It's a dream team, so join them today at 10 a.m.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Listen to local talk, national talk, local news, and national news on News Radio Pensacola. Online, newsradio923.com, or by downloading the News Radio Pensacola mobile app.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today for the Transgressors Memorial Service, remembering those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must forever be cast into the abyss of dead names. Let's join Brother Andrew remembering those who we have lost.
Thank you, brother. The first remembrance this week is for Jason Aldean, the country superstar who decided to make a song that endorses punishing hooligans and vandals with rough justice, frontier mob style.
We'll try that in a small town. See how far you make it down the road. Around here we take care of our own.
The video for Try That in a Small Town was even filmed in front of the Maury County Courthouse in Columbia, Tennessee, the site of a 1946 race riot and the 1927 lynching of an 18-year-old black man named Henry Choate. Now look, obviously Aldean doesn't say he hates black people or explicitly endorse lynching in this song, and yes, that location has been used for lots of other movie and video backdrops. But that's the tricky thing about racist dog whistles. You have to really listen carefully because the clever ones know how to make it sound like they're not even whistling about race at all. In fact, the more unracist it sounds, the more it proves how skilled they are at hiding it while they sing about guns and government conspiracies.
Got a gun that my granddad gave me. They say one day they're gonna round up. Well, that might fly in the city. Good luck. Try that in a small town.
But look, that's why it's so important to ignore the denials of the actual artist who made the song and instead trust the opinions of our Level 4 certified microaggressionistas, who are so gifted at explaining how things that don't sound racist really are. And trust me, if you look hard enough at any song by white conservatives, oh, you'll find the racism, even if it isn't really there. That's the hard part about racism today. It's so invisible that it takes at least 2 postgraduate degrees and a subscription to Mother Jones to find it. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Second, we want to celebrate the ongoing work of inclusion being done by Walt Disney Studios in properly realigning unacceptable old stories to 2023.07.21 standards, such as in the live-action remake of Snow White coming out next year. Even though the title Snow White will rather unfortunately be retained, the lead character is, thankfully, a Hispanic actress, Rachel Zegler. And you'll notice the 7, and I apologize for using this awful term, dwarfs, are not mentioned in the title. They will now be the 7 magical creatures, featuring a multiracial and gender-diverse group, including one person of minimal stature. Although the early information about plot and content isn't available yet, we do have some suggestions for the fine woke-alites at Disney. First, do not allow a deer to be killed for the heart substitution. Deer are people too. Instead, perhaps the huntsman can use a 3D printer and some impossible burger meat to fabricate a heart. Just please stop culture-norming deericide, okay? Now, obviously, when Snow enters the House of Magical Creatures, she is totally within her equity rights to take whatever food and wine and sleep in their bed that she needs. The concepts of breaking and entering and burglary are just tools of the patriarchy, and we hope they make this clear. Third, a solid message about how the wicked queen was clearly over-consuming Instagram and had internalized beauty dysmorphia would be a nice touch. Fourth, we recommend some new names for the magical creatures. Doc is obviously fine to keep as long as she's a female, perhaps even transgender. Grumpy could become economically marginalized person. Sneezy could be boy with several allergies. Bashful? Bashful should definitely be the respectful one who always asks for permission. Sleepy could be girl with an alternate awake schedule or just sleep apnea person. Of course, happy should be called privileged. It's important to have one white male in the group. And Dopey will be dear friend with special needs. Now, fifth and finally, the prince obviously cannot kiss Snow White out of her slumber without her consent. Even holding her hand would be an assault. So we recommend that perhaps he simply be the delivery driver with a magic potion that Doc, the she doctor or the they doctor, can administer, and then Snow can decide for herself whether she wants to consider romance with this potential suitor. Simple. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Finally, it's come to our attention that a group of climate enthusiasts has been saving the planet one golf course at a time. Members of Extinction Rebellion Spain have been protesting their country's drought by sneaking onto courses in places like Madrid, Valencia, and Ibiza in order to fill the holes with cement and plant multiple seedlings on the greens, making it virtually impossible to use them. Sporting messages such as "golf closed for climate justice" and "water is a common good," these eco-educators are pointing out the hypocrisy of using 22,000 gallons of water a day for each hole on the golf course, when less than 1% of the population even plays this ridiculous sport of white supremacists. Their poignant attack on the leisure elitists reminds us just how twisted our world has become when enough water to quench the world is squandered daily on an overpriced game played by bored billionaires and trust fund recipients. Just let them try to work their corporation-y deals and practice their toxic masculinity when they can't sink a putt or even get a good divot from the brown, dried grass of athletic justice. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
This week's refreshments will be lemonade made with an okra and broccoli flour infusion, conflict-free wheat crackers with reduced fat pimento loaf made with free-range olives, and of course, simulated meat from the compost pile mushrooms at the Johansson Co-op. Please keep Leighton and Jasmine in your prayers. They found out today that the carbon offsets they thought they purchased last year were in fact fraudulent, And because they were bought with cryptocurrency, they're now wrestling with the guilt of having used so much mining energy in the purchase of the fake carbon credits. They were too ashamed to even come to the service this morning, but they have pledged to go without using light bulbs for a month as penance. So if you visit, go during the daytime or bring a candle.
And now, brethren, sisterin, and otherin, having been cleansed of these hurtful words, give each other the holy virtue signal and go forth and transgress no more.
8:26 on
the brown grass of athletic justice. Oh my gosh, dude.
We just can't get a good divot off of that. Yeah, I mean, that's the issue.
Oh my gosh.
I just, you know, I'm trying to imagine in my brain just what the lemonade infused with okra and broccoli flour would in fact taste like.
It tastes delicious.
It tastes like virtue. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
And lots going on today, but most of it's been cleaned up, which is good. Quintet in 95A showing an accident, but not showing a roadblock. We're still showing that it's blocked on Highway 90 and 87 South and blocked in all directions. East and westbound on 90 and 87 is blocked southbound. The debris in the roadway on the bridge on Highway 90, that has been cleared. And if you have traffic tips, text it in 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. Yeah. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, we're remembering Tony Bennett today.
I left my heart in San Francisco.
The legendary crooner has died at 96. Bennett was diagnosed with Alzheimer's in 2016, continued performing all the way through 2021. Police in Oklahoma investigating what they believe might be a triple murder suicide. A mother and three young children, including an infant, found dead Thursday night inside a home near Tulsa. After more than a three-hour standoff, police found the bodies. And YouTube bumping up their prices on some of their platforms. YouTube Premium is going up $2 a month, and that'll be at $13.99 a month. And YouTube Premium Music also seeing a dollar increase. That'll be up to $10.99 a month.
I get how it's more convenient to have YouTube without the ads.
Yeah.
But I also don't understand how, like, how much do you think 4 seconds of your life is worth?
Right.
That's kind of the,
they're not all 4 seconds. And plus, it interrupts 15. Your stuff. Yeah, I know, but you're watching something.
Oh, with
you're
the
like,
interruptions,
what's going on?
I will agree with you. The interruptions are annoying.
I wish my husband would buy it and pay for it.
But then again, I will.
Now, the premium music, though, that's actually a pretty nice service to have.
Okay.
Because it gives you access to all the music. You can download it onto your phone, set up your playlists, and that type of thing.
How does that not already happen?
Well, I mean, you know, without having to buy all the
without having to record it
and that type of thing. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Fair enough. You know, whatever. 437-1620. Hey, if you are thinking about buying or selling a home, you want a good expert, somebody who's going to really understand what's going on in the market, and with you, too, also. That's very important. Christina Leavenworth, I mean, she's just fantastic. And I was just listening to her do a pep talk the other day with Tammy Martin, and she was talking about things like, you know, sometimes people have this idea that if they call her, they're bothering her, like they're putting her out. And she says, no, just call. It's fine. You know, whether we actually do a deal and you hire me for professional services is not the point. I like meeting people. I like answering questions. And, you know, maybe it's you, maybe it's not you, maybe it's a friend, maybe it's 5 years from now. I don't know. It doesn't matter. The point is, it's no problem. Just call. We'll talk. It's easy. And also, she's like a nerd about real estate. Like, she loves that. And I know that's true about her, because she says, don't you want somebody who's obsessed when you hire them for professional services? You want that kind of a person, someone who's always kind of aiming at perfection, like, don't tell me what I did great, tell me what I can do better, right? That's her. 723-9158 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Levin Rinke Realty. I saw this story, and I don't know if it's going to work, but I thought it was interesting. Japan Airlines is coming out with a clothing rental service. So that what happens is you show up in, let's say, Tokyo, and you pay a certain fee. It's not really that much. It's like $28 or $48 for, you know, longer or, you know, higher quality stuff. And you basically rent clothes that they've cleaned so that you don't have to pack a bag. Now, they don't rent underwear, but it will. Their goal is to get you to not have to pack a bag, which saves them money on fuel for the planes in the aggregate. So if they would rather sell you a service on the back end, renting you clothes while you're in Tokyo or wherever, and then you have the convenience of not having to pack the bag, and then they save the money on the freight, and in the end, sort of everybody gets an advantage. course, you're wearing a stranger's clothes that somebody else
have
wore last week.
Have you ever ordered anything from Asia? It never, ever, ever, ever fits. Ever.
Your luxury clothing from Wish.com.
This is a Fox News alert. I'm Chris Foster. Tony Bennett died, 96 years old, a singer of classic American songs for more than 70 years.
I left my heart in San Francisco.
He was diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease in 2016. His last album, singing duets with Lady Gaga, came out just 2 years ago. American-supplied cluster bombs are now being used by Ukraine's military in its fight against Russia.
More than 100 countries have banned the weapons because of their threat to civilians, but Ukraine's promised to only use them against concentrations of Russian soldiers. The U.S. decided to send cluster bombs after Ukraine warned it was running low on ammunition. Russia has already been using them, including in civilian areas.
That's Fox's Jonathan Savage. On Wall Street, stocks start the day a little bit higher. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 8:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. It's 87 right now. We do have a heat advisory in effect today. Already that feels like temperature up to 98 degrees. Well, we reported earlier this morning investigators in Santa Rosa County were looking into the death of 70-year-old Stephen Jernigan as a possible homicide. Well, now we're seeing reports that his cousin, 53-year-old Robert Patrick Jernigan, has been booked into the Santa Rosa County Jail on a felony homicide charge. No information on this arrest has been released as of yet by the Santa Rosa County Sheriff's Office. Stephen Jernigan was found dead at a home on Schnorr Road on Wednesday evening. At the time, investigators said they suspected foul play and they didn't believe it was a random act. Now we'll have more on this story as it develops today. Fire that started that destroyed a home on the 10,000 block of Old Chemstrand Road this week being blamed on a greasy grill that was near the house. Firefighters were called to the property Wednesday. They arrived. They say they found most of the house already engulfed in flames. A boat and an RV on the property were also on fire. Luckily, there were no injuries. ECFR says the fire started because of a grease fire on that grill. Local businessman Cash Moore has died. Moore, the founder of Cash's Liquors, a well-known liquor store chain here in the area. His daughter says he passed away yesterday at 85. He started his business back in 1965, grew it into a multi-million dollar liquor chain across the area. Well, in the end, it took the jury less than an hour to reach a verdict yesterday.
One, as to Ladarius Clarity, guilty of first-degree premeditated murder as charged. Count two, as to Eric Young, guilty of attempted first-degree premeditated murder as charged.
23-year-old DeKavion Snowden found guilty of first-degree premeditated murder in the 2021 shooting death of Ladarius Clarity. Snowden was the driver of the car that was following Clarity and his friend Eric Young after the two men left a dice game. Prosecutors say Snowden's brother Amos and another man fired dozens of rounds into the vehicle, believing Clarity was someone else who had a hit taken out on them. Snowden's mandatory sentence will be life in prison. His brother Amos scheduled to appear in court in September. Florida Department of Law Enforcement says a 52-year-old golf breeze man, is now in custody after investigators found 30 images of child pornography on his computer.
Aaron DeDecker is facing 30 counts of possession along with one count of promoting a sexual performance by a child and one count of unlawful use of a two-way communication device. FDLE says the investigation began in April when agents became aware of a device that was sharing the material. FDLE, Gulf Breeze Police, and Homeland Security Investigations conducted a search warrant at his home on Wednesday. DeDecker is being held without bond, awaiting his initial court appearance. Joe Ford, News Radio 92.3.
Thank you, Joe. And a ribbon cutting today, officially marking the completion of the new pool house at the Cecil T. Hunter Pool.
And that's for the pool house. Of course, the pool has been open, but we were able to officially get the pool house open. And so really looking forward to that.
Pensacola Mayor D.C. Reeves says the pool's been a part of the downtown community for years. He's excited to see it improved. The ribbon cutting happening at 11:30 today. The pool at 200 East Blunt Street. It is 8:35 at News Radio 92.3. And let's get a look at our traffic. Candy, what are you seeing?
An accident on Highway 90 and 87. And it's still blocked. Highway 90 east and westbound and 87 southbound, as I understand. So use caution there. And certainly wherever you are. This is brought to you by Discover. Discover credit cards do something awesome. At the end of the first year, they automatically double all your cash back you've earned. That's right. Everything you've earned. Double. See terms and check it out for yourself. Discover.com/match. If you have traffic tips, text 437-1620. News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Hot and humid again today with a heat advisory in place. Not much of a chance for rain. Lots of sunshine and highs in the mid to maybe upper 90s. This weekend, the heat and humidity still in place, but rain may cool us down. Saturday, we've got about a 50% chance for some showers and thunderstorms. And on Sunday, that chance goes up to 80%. I'm Chief Meteorologist Alan Strum with your WEAR News forecast.
And right now, 87 in Pensacola, 87 in Gulf Breeze, 82 in Milton. Our next news at 9 and breaking news anytime.
Do you struggle with occasional nerve aches in your hands or feet? Try Nervive Nerve Relief from the world's number one nerve care company. Nervive tablets contain alpha-lipoic acid to relieve nerve aches, weakness, and discomfort, plus B-complex vitamins to support healthy nerve function as you age. Live life with less nerve discomfort with Nervive Nerve Relief. Learn more at NerviveHealth.com. And try Nervive Pain Relieving Cream to block nerve pain signals at the source. Use as directed.
Your money now this morning. The market's opening up. The Dow's up 47.93 at 35,273.11. The S&P 500 up 18.66 at 45,53.53. The NASDAQ up 107.63 at 14,170.94. Our 10-year bond rate down today at 3.81%. Gold prices are down as well. Gold at $1,963.60, silver at $2,489 this morning. And for you crypto investors, Bitcoin up $167.86 at $29,890.29. A tornado in North Carolina might contribute to a drug shortage in the U.S.
An EF3 tornado plowed through the town of Rocky Mount on Wednesday, causing considerable damage to a Pfizer facility that makes nearly 25% of the company's sterile injectable drugs used in U.S. hospitals. An official with the American Society of Health System Pharmacists says hospitals across the U.S. are already seeing shortages of sterile injectable drugs, and the tornado is likely to make that worse. Pfizer says it's still assessing the damage to determine the impact, but adds all the staff were able to evacuate. I'm Michael Kastner.
Attorneys for the failed crypto exchange FTX accusing co-founder Sam Bankman-Fried of using $10 million in misappropriated funds to pay for his criminal defense. The lawyers filed a lawsuit yesterday in U.S. bankruptcy court in Wilmington, Delaware. They say the $10 million is part of hundreds of millions in dollars that Bankman-Fried is charged with stealing from the company. And Elon Musk has now served a subpoena to Senator Elizabeth Warren just days after she called on the SEC to investigate Musk's role in running both Tesla and Twitter. The Massachusetts Democrat sent a letter to the Securities and Exchange Commission this week urging them to investigate Tesla regarding conflicts of interest of its chief executive officer. Now she's been subpoenaed by Musk's company, X Corp. It's 8:38. Next news at 9. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
It's that time of year again, hurricane season. News Radio 92.3 provides informative, local, and dependable coverage to make sure you're informed of any major storms coming to our area. Before a storm, we keep you informed of the storm's track, where food and gas shortages occur, and where you can get sandbags. During the storm, we stay on the air to let you know where the storm is headed, where power outages occur, road closures, and other storm warnings. Then after the storm, we get you the information to help you recover from the storm and help your neighbors. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable hurricane headquarters.
Said a hip, the hip, you don't stop. Rap.
I will definitely call you back later then.
Come on, wrap it up.
Big sharp it up.
Okay, you know what? Wrap up the circle thing. Come on.
Mr. Parker, wrap it up, please.
Okay.
Okay, everybody, that's a wrap.
All right, today for the wrap, we're recapping the week's news with a couple of friends, a couple of recidivists here. So we got Walker Wilson, who is the executive director for the Downtown Improvement Board, as you sometimes heard it referred to colloquially as the DIB.
That's it.
Nobody calls
here.
It the
Happy
dib.
Friday.
I think I'm going to start a thing. Let's call it the dib.
Hey,
yeah, let's call it. You work at the dib.
It's that guy from the dib.
It sounds more like hip than, you know, it seems like an Urban Dictionary kind of thing than to say the DIB. I don't. How did it come to be the DIB instead of the dib?
That's
just
know.
Cooler.
That's okay. Just.
All right. You know,
I'm
gonna make it happen. If we're gonna call it the Chappie, we're gonna call it the dib. Ed.
Ed kind of close to dip though. So.
Yeah.
You know. But that's good now. Oh. Okay. I'm gonna sound so 52 right now. My boys were telling me the other day that drip is a good thing. If you're dripped up, means you dress well.
You got some drip, yeah.
You know this. You're young enough to know. Okay, all right. I'm not.
it's something different when you're a little bit older. Yeah, it's like, I don't want that. Yeah.
So would you say he's got the drip? Was that not?
Yeah, he's got the drip.
No, that's not the way you say that? Okay, all right. Confusing. Ed Carson.
Where am I?
Is one of
Where am I?
Ed Carson with Carson Lovell and just, you know, good friend who's kind of involved in all kinds of things, and that's why I was like to have him on. Let's just start with this. my goodness. I don't know to what degree you've each been following the drama over the Milton City manager. Mm-hmm. You know, I have a lot to say, but I've gone over it twice today, and I always think like twice in a four-hour period of extensive treatment is kind of enough. But my short version is my understanding of all of the pieces now, as I think I do have it, is this could have been completely avoided. But because mm-hmm. we have such a toxic distrust, everybody's on tilt all the time, that even ordinary misunderstandings get blasted into a nuclear fight. And because of that, what I think a healthier organization would have handled pretty easily in this case became a catastrophe where they lost an incredibly talented person to come work for the city. That's what it looks like to me.
Yeah, it's mind-boggling to me. And I listen, of course, to you in the morning, and I listen to some of the meetings. And I saw a text exchange between the candidate and Mr. Andrade.
That's right. Uh-huh.
And
after he had withdrawn.
Correct.
Twice.
And it's just hard to imagine that. I mean, here, I always tell people, I say, where in the state of Florida can you find this quaint little riverfront city?
Right.
It's 2 miles from the interstate.
Where good living flows.
It's stuck in 1950.
Yeah, I mean, what's so up weird. With that? Yeah, and he even said, when I was talking to him yesterday, for about an hour, he said, God, Milton is a great opportunity. Milton is in a great position to do amazing things. Mm-hmm. The problems that they think of as being big problems really aren't. I can see solutions for all of it. I would love to come there, but I just can't make this decision with my family, and it's such turmoil and uncertainty. It would not be prudent of me as a dad to make this choice.
Yeah, I mean, you don't want to step into a position like that, and then it's already on a rocky foundation. It's sad to see that you lose a quality candidate over, you know, essentially foolishness, right? And it seems like the council, decided on letting somebody negotiate the contract, and then perhaps some of the members stepped in the middle of that negotiation process. There was questions over the contract that was sent. And I think, you know, there's some, it could be true that the mayor of Milton originally wrote this almost exact contract in her former role as the attorney for Milton.
Right.
And then questioned the contract that right. she possibly wrote.
For the guy two managers ago. Right.
Right. Exactly. So, it's just, it's crazy, and you hate to see it. And hopefully they can kind of get on the right footing and move forward and find somebody that'll be a good fit.
And really, to me, the big takeaway to me is, we're going to continue. Milton is going to continue to have these problems if we can't figure out how to work together and get along. You can have drama in the meetings. That's fine. It'd be nice if you could turn it down for one meeting while the candidate comes.
Mm-hmm.
He was telling me, I was a little surprised by the, you know, the tone of the meeting while they're kind of trying to put their best face forward to appeal to me too, right? And they kind of let some of this stuff happen. And I was like, oh, okay. Right. And he's like, it seemed, and I'm like, sir, on a 1 to Milton scale, that's a 3.
Yeah.
You know? But still, you know, to me, the big takeaway is that, like, healthy organizations, like healthy relationships, healthy friendships, anything, when problems come, because there's trust and communication, you can handle the problem.
Sure.
Unhealthy, dysfunctional organizations, and that's, again, relationships, workplaces, or in this place, a government, when problems come, everybody's into, you know, hyper chaos mode because that's what they think everybody else is into. And I mean, you know, just it can't really function effectively that way. We've got Ed Carson here in the studio with me, Walker Wilson here with me. We're going to talk about land use and parking, so stay tuned. That's coming up right now. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
Highway 90 and 87 still showing a blockage. East and westbound on 90 and 87 is still blocked southbound. If you have traffic tips, text them in at 437-1620. This brought to you by Knox Pest Control, their family serving your family since 1929. More info on a free pest or termite quote, visit knoxpest.com. That's K-N-O-X. Knox. Knocks them out. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. So, Ed, I know you are, I mean, you're that evil, terrible, horrible word. You're a developer.
Right.
Which means that you've helped people find places to buy clothes and eat food and run a business and live. You know, weird how people need that stuff, right?
Right. Exactly.
But, you know, Santa
Where'd
Rosa.
Did you buy your groceries?
I bought it in a place somebody developed, right? I live in a place that somebody developed, and I work in a place that somebody developed. Anyway, so Santa Rosa is obviously going through a second now revision of land development code in the last couple of years.
Right.
Pensacola, you know, Mayor D.C. Reeves has not yet quite discovered that it's the third rail, but, you know, he may soon. Because they're doing a preliminary overview of the LDC for Pensacola. It hasn't been done in a couple decades. We have ongoing questions like this Molino development that is, you know, Fred Hammer wants to add density and, you know, make for housing to go vertical instead of having to sprawl sideways, which I understand. And it just, like, there's so many things connected to this. Let's start with that one. This density issue to me is fascinating because if people are moving here, and they are, lots of people are moving here, you either put them up vertically or you put them out horizontally. You can't avoid both, right?
Correct. And I think the city is a little different animal because it's essentially built. So density makes a lot of sense there.
Sure.
However, when you get out in the countryside, I completely understand, because I live in the countryside, the argument about not having that kind of density.
Yeah.
Not that it would ever be like an urban area, but I totally get it, especially because I drive down Woodbine every day.
Oh, yeah. Goodness. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, the thing that I heard the advocates for Jubilee talking about recently that I thought was interesting, and I'd never quite thought about it this way, it made sense to me, is I think most of us want to protect rural land. We want to protect farmland.
Sure.
And toward that end, we want to protect our inclination is to protect the 1 acre per house kind of model, because that's sparse looking, spread out, that feels rural. But that also uses up a lot of land in order to get a house. And if you really rely on that one house per acre model, you're contributing to sprawl and contributing to farmland being converted, not thwarting it. And I don't know the answer, but that doesn't seem like the way forward. Walker, I don't know if you have thoughts about this, but
yeah, you know, and sitting on the Escambia County Planning Board and chairing that meeting with the Molino Project for a good 7 hours a couple of weeks ago, you know, I think
Sorry. Yeah. I didn't know you were. So are in your wheelhouse.
Right,
I didn't.
Here in it.
Sometimes I schedule people by just divine providence. We get both the experts in house. Go ahead.
And so, you know, I think Mr. Hammer's got, he can go ahead and build a lot on that property that he owns as it sits currently with the regulations he's got in place. And what he was coming to do was ask, I guess, in his mind, be able to plan it out a little better than what he's currently got. It's interesting, you know, when you want to go drop essentially a city in the middle of farmland up there, you know, you're certainly going to get some pushback. And, you know, it's hard to wage both sides of this, right? Because I think the city front, it certainly, if we can go up, which I think the mayor wants to look at, you know, can we lift some of these height restrictions we have, certainly downtown, you're not going to get as much pushback. But going out, you know, up 29 and trying to go drop a city in the middle of Molino is maybe not the best plan unless you do it right. And I think, you know, the residents even said that. They said, you know, we wouldn't be opposed to one house per acre kind of development, but this townhomes right next to each other with, you know, a city village and needing to put a new school in and a fire department and all this to kind of really and truly create a city in the middle of Molino is maybe a little far-stretched.
Yeah, and so what I guess what I'm thinking about is sort of in a long-term sense, okay? Mm-hmm. If we're going to put, and I'm making up a number, based on what I heard from Christian Wagley about Santa Rosa County, you know, he's saying 50 or 60,000 people over the next, I forget the time period, but, you know, 20 years, okay. Yeah. So we got to assume that number is about double for Escambia. Mm-hmm. I would figure you're probably talking 100,000 people, okay? 100,000 people are going to come here, and they're going to have to live somewhere. Is it better to have them live in a built-up Pensacola, if you can accommodate that many? It's hard to imagine with a city of 50,000 now. Is it better to accommodate them in, you know, one house per acre kind of lots, which is going to take a lot of land? Or is it better to take a couple of spaces here and there, like what could be a Beulah or what could be a Molino, and say, okay, better than taking away half the county, let's take away these chunks and build them into something with a little bit more density. As an overall planner, that actually appeals to me, mm-hmm. but I get why the people who live in Molino would yell and scream as loud as they could about that.
Yeah, and another consideration that I struggle with is, as an economic developer, we're trying to bring industry and jobs and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Well, the first question we get asked is, where are my people going to live?
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
We don't have a good answer for that right now. So it's a struggle for me to...
Are you seeing potentials go away because of not able to answer that question right now?
Well, one of the big ones is the military.
Yeah. Yeah.
They can't bring missions here.
We can't grow the base, sure.
Put people in that, you know, without the military here, we're in sad shape.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think, you know, another big problem is with housing prices the way they are is that I don't believe, in my opinion, that we have the inventory that we need to really kind of control what the prices of houses are, and that's why they're so inflated in so many areas around the country, especially here in Pensacola. We're, you know, no stranger to that. And so, you know, I'm in favor, especially, you know, my wheelhouse is a little bit more downtown, but when we see these people proposing developments of new apartment complexes or you know, new housing developments downtown, I certainly welcome that, because I think, again, you need some competition in those markets, because mm-hmm. it's been Southtown or bust for so long, and now we've
right.
got you know, the new development just west of Everman's that's got people living in it, and then we've got the Waverly project going on at Spring of Garden, and then maybe an apartment complex going in at East Garden District as well. So I think a lot more of that is going to help those prices of those rent.
And clearly, we haven't even come close to satisfying that demand, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's billed everywhere you look, and it's been that way for several years. You know, even if you go over to the old school that got demolished on the west side to put up all of those, you know, I'll be honest, I don't like looking at them. They're not pretty townhomes, yeah. but they're full.
They are full.
And they sold for a lot of money. And yeah. everywhere you look, you got infill housing getting built in Pensacola. And, of course, you know, in both counties, you can't drive 5 minutes without seeing a new subdivision planned or in process. And every board meeting, there's 2 to 4 new plats getting approved. It's happening. The question is it happening in a way that is smart for the long-term consequence of all these things working together and providing the retail services? You know, it's right. it's this mixture of all of these problems together, right?
Yeah, I don't know what the stats are in Escambia County, but the latest I heard for Santa Rosa was there's a need for about 1,500 units a year, and we can only produce about 1,000. So we're going in reverse.
And yeah, then, anyway. And you know, I don't feel like I know enough about the subject yet to feel really comfortable about it, but it's something my wife has kind of been mentioning to me and hearing in other sources that over the last about 10 years, you've really had this development where corporations are buying homes and becoming significant owners of residential property as rentals, which in one sense is not so bad. But if you're competing not just with investors who come here from higher priced areas like New York and California, but now you're also competing with companies that are just buying homes to rent, and then you're competing with Airbnb and VRBO and things that are taking inventory off the market for hotel essentially purposes that historically has not been a those pinch points, those are really causing challenges for the basic expression of the American dream of, I'm going to get a good job, start a family, buy or build a home, and then hold on to that for 10 or 20 years, right?
Yeah, we've got over in Santa Rosa County, and I assume in Scambia as well, but one of the national home builders is building they've built some subdivisions that are strictly rental. They hold them, they rent them, and then they flip them.
Yeah.
So, you know, to your point, we can only produce so many lots. They're obviously using a great number of those, so it makes it more difficult.
Yeah, I sometimes think about, like, we built a house with Adams about the year after we first came here, had a great experience, and I look back and I'm like, oh my, thank God. Yeah, you know, because like, I wouldn't want to be a renter in this market, and I wouldn't want to be trying to buy in this market, thank goodness, you know, and so I think about that all the time. You know, we got in before the kind of the boom, and I mean, thank goodness, I can take that for granted, but a lot of people, and all the people who are coming here, making it worse and also having to do it for themselves. 8:55 on News Radio 92.3. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
You should have been here before Ivan. That's a boom, man. Taking a look at our roads. The only thing that I'm seeing right now, and it's still showing, it's blocked. Highway 90 and 87 in Milton. Blocked east and westbound on 90, and 87 is blocked southbound. If you have a traffic tip, 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks, Candy. It's the wrap. We're already almost out of time.
I know.
it's so annoying. Walker, I wanted to talk a little bit with you. Where are we at on Pelican Drop?
Yep, great question. So the mayor and I are meeting next Friday to talk about some other things, but we're going to discuss Pelican Drop as well. I've said kind of from the get-go, I'm willing and DIB's willing to be the point person on this. But it's, you know, can we get enough people around the table to fork up money to make it happen, right?
Always the question. That's why it went away in the first place.
How much does it take? Yeah.
It's like 100?
My guess is it's probably about 150.
Oh,
you know,
okay.
The last numbers I've got are from 2015, and we spent about $130,000. So I imagine that it's
not cheaper
probably
today.
A little more, you know, and I've met with PPD and PFD to talk about it. And it's just going to be, you need about 35 officers that day that you've got to pay for overtime. You got to have enough EMTs down there. They have essentially to bring a unit, you know, down there and be stationed and ready to go. And in the off chance that somebody gets hurt or, you know, you certainly don't want anything like what happened to Mobile last year to happen
right.
in downtown Pensacola.
Oh, yeah. Right.
And so we're still kind of working through those conversations. I think I'm with the mayor in the fact that I would love to see this happen. You know, I mean, that's really what kind of gave me the spark of, wow, Pensacola is cool. When I came back from Auburn during Christmas time, and we would all go down to the Pelican Drop in 2008, 2009. Yeah, War Eagle. So
Gators.
Ed Carson is rolling his eyes as loudly as he can.
Gators are going to gate.
But we're trying to figure out if it's feasible or not. And, you know, it's a big undertaking. It's not just a gallery night. It's a bigger gallery night with, you know, maybe another 30,000 to 40,000 people for that event than what you see for a gallery
speaking
night.
Speaking of that, I totally forgot. Gallery night's tonight with the Running of the Bulls.
That's right.
First time they're doing that on a Friday and at night in conjunction with gallery
that's
night,
right? Yep.
Oh, that's awesome.
So nighttime Running of the Bulls. That's
what could possibly go wrong.
Yeah. I think Ed's going to be running out of downtown later.
Now, what time is the Running of the Bulls at 6? 5:30?
I think it's 6 o'clock.
Okay, so it'll still be light out.
Yeah.
I think, you know, Running of the Bulls at night with, you know, the fluorescent and the glow sticks and, you know, more injuries probably. So more drinking later on in the night. Like any of those things could produce a problem. I can't see it happening at all. Oh, my goodness. Well, we've got a minute. Can you solve parking for? No, just kidding.
Yeah, don't park in the red lots. That'll be my only tip to you.
Oh, my goodness.
And there's free parking on Spring Street if you want to walk.
There is. And, you know, that's so funny because you get into a habit of thinking, like, I go to this area, then that parking goes away, and I have been making this battle for years. But Spring Street on the west side of Palo Fox, it's lots of open space, free parking.
Away.
It's just two blocks. It's easy. Nobody wants to walk west, apparently.
No.
or get out of their car and walk east.
Right.
You know? I will tell you that if you're creative, you can always find parking. Even on parade days, you might have to walk a minute to get there, but you can always find parking. And if you want convenience, you pay for it.
Yep.
That's where we are as a city. Ed Carson, Walker Wilson, gentlemen, as always, thank you for joining us today. Excellent stuff. We'll see y'all on Monday.
Listen on air at 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. News Radio 92.3, WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.
An update on the homicide investigation in Santa Rosa County. We'll have that right after this update from Fox News at News Radio 92.3.
is a Fox News alert. A legendary voice has gone silent. I'm Dave Anthony.
I want to be around to pick up the pieces.
Tony Bennett has died at the age of 96.
I left.
His real name was Anthony Dominic Benedetto, but he was known by millions as Tony Bennett. Born in Queens, New York, to an Italian-American family, he found his voice early. He signed to Columbia Records in his early 20s and had his first hit in 1951 with Because of You.
Because
that was quickly followed with another.
I know.
When rock rolled in the mid to late 50s, Bennett's career hit a rough patch. So he brought in a musical director and showed his leanings towards jazz. He pursued this avenue to great success, then released I Left My Heart in San Francisco, which gave Bennett a couple of Grammys and his signature song.
That's Fox's Michelle Pollino. Tony Bennett won 20 Grammys in all and performed up until last summer, joining Lady Gaga for his final concerts in New York. A federal judge has just set a May 20th trial date in the Trump classified documents case. The former president claims he's a political target after pleading not guilty to 37 criminal charges over the classified materials the FBI seized from his Florida resort. As House Republicans turn up the volume on a possible President Biden impeachment, Congressman Greg Stubbe tells Fox Business.
You now have direct evidence and facts that support the fact that Joe Biden himself was paid money in a bribery scheme.
Those allegations are from a source in an FBI document that says the Bidens were paid millions by a Ukraine energy company for political favors.
The White House is now confronting Republicans releasing this full FBI document. This is Ian Sams, a spokesperson here. He writes to us, quote, "It is remarkable that congressional Republicans in their eagerness to go after President Biden, regardless of the truth, continue to push claims that have been debunked for years."
That's Fox's Rich Edson. America's listening to Fox News.
When I can't sleep, my mind just races. I think about work,